and to share with you what the Lord has given to me. I was reading in my devotions about a week ago, and I was reading in the book of Isaiah, and the Lord, I knew this passage. I knew a little bit about what had gone on in the history of this passage, but there was a phrase that was said that the Lord kind of pointed out to me and said, "Where are you with this?" And so if we look at Isaiah chapter 36, and if you would look at verse 4 with me, and the Bible says, "And Rabshakeh said unto them, Say ye now to Hezekiah, Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this, wherein thou trustest?" I'm going to go ahead and pray here in a minute, and then I'm going to bring a message that I entitled, "Where is your confidence?" Where is your confidence? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for each and every day that you give us. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, how it helps us to understand that you care for us. Lord, how it helps us to understand that you love us. Lord, how it helps us to know that a God who created the heaven and earth, Lord, sent his son to die for us. Father, I pray that you would help us to never forget those truths. And Father, that no matter what comes our way, that our confidence would be in you. That we would trust in you. That we would trust in your power. And Father, not in these other things that the devil tries to get us to trust in. Father, I pray that you would bless tonight's message. Lord, I pray that you give me the wisdom that I need. Give me the words. Father, I pray that everything that's said would be said that you want. And Lord, if there's something here that shouldn't be said, I pray that you would delete it from my mind. And Father, I pray that ultimately you would be honored and you would be glorified in tonight's service. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Alexander the Great is one of the most well-known commanders in history. He was born in 353 BC, and by the age of 30, he conquered most of the known world. He then died in 323 BC with a lifespan that totaled just 33 years. Within that same time, he became known for the strategic ways and the might that he had his confidence in that gave him the ability to take out nation after nation and land after land and was able to conquer those people. He had confidence in his strategic abilities and in his power, but my question tonight then is, where is our confidence? Where are we placing our trust? Where are we placing the confidence that we have? What are we placing it in? Who are we placing it in? I want tonight's message to be an encouraging message, and I believe it will be when we get to the end. But if you would turn with me so we can kind of get through some of the historical background of this. 2 Kings chapter 17 is where we're going to be for the first part of the message. And then we're going to apply it at the end and go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 36 and 37 and even through 38, it's going through an area of historical background. It's a time when we know that Isaiah mostly is a prophetic book. But at this point in time, in these chapters, he's taken a step back from the prophecy, so to speak. He's taken a step back from all of the things that we know for him to be saying, like in Isaiah 53 about the Lord Jesus Christ coming and things of those nature. And he's talking about a historical time period that happened back as well in 2 Kings chapter 17. And so to know some of the things that are going on in the book of Isaiah with this, he doesn't give every detail of what's going on. 2 Kings gives a little bit more of that detail, and that's what I want us to look at here. And so in verse 1 of chapter 17 of 2 Kings, it says in verse 1, "In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began the reign." In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the king of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and in Habor and the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. For so it was, the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof that the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like the neck of their fathers that did not believe the Lord their God. We can see here that King Ahaz, and in his reign, and in the reign of Samaria, and in the reign of Judah at this time, they were not going after the Lord. It was clear that they were going after false idols. They were going after things that were made by hands of men. They were going, even in Isaiah, it'll say a little bit later, it'll say that they went after and they worshipped the serpent that Moses had, and he eventually calls it Nehushtan, and it's just a nothing but a rod, a nothing but something that was made for a period of time that God used, but then was something that they weren't supposed to worship. And so we see it's a period of time where they're going after false idols. They're going after things that God said that they should not do it, and they're even trying to do it in secret. They're trying to hide the ways that they are going after. They're trying to hide it as if God can't see it. They're trying to do the things that God specifically said in his word and to them through the law of Moses, and to them through the prophets that they had, and to them through the ones who were set up to help them understand the way that God wanted them to go. And they were going after the way of the heathen. They were going after the way of Egypt. They were going after the way that God did not lead them to go. And we can see here that King Ahaz's confidence was not in the Lord. He did things his way and listened not to what the Lord wanted. His confidence was in himself. It says here in this passage as well that they would not listen to the things that were told them to heed. They would not listen to the commandments that were repeated back to them that they were supposed to follow. They didn't even want to hear it. King Ahaz wanted to do things his way and not the Lord's way. His confidence was not in the Lord. And it was even in Israel, the northern 10 tribes, their confidence was not in the Lord, as they didn't have any good king at this time. They didn't have anybody who was trying to follow the Lord's commandments, trying to follow the Lord's way. And eventually Assyria came down, as it said in that passage, and they took him away. God judged them. God took him into Assyria, and they were no longer where they were supposed to be. 2 Kings chapter 18, look at it with me. Verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. And he smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza, and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Assyria, of Israel. Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria and put them in Hala and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. 8 years, it doesn't say it here, but 8 years have passed. It says now, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me, that which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord, and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord, from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. We're going to pause here for a second. At this time, now that Samaria had been taken into captivity by the Assyrians, the Assyrian king, he decided that he was now going to come down against some other nations. And one of those nations was the people of Judea, the people of Judah, the last remaining tribes of the children of Israel. And so he was coming down, and he was trying to take away their possessions. And he came, and he took the defensed cities, the fortified cities of this area. And when he did that, he started to negotiate with Hezekiah. He started to have Rabshakeh, who he sent. It was his captain, who was the one who was supposed to be the mediator between the king of Assyria and between King Hezekiah. And Rabshakeh was the one who started talking to some of Hezekiah's trusted servants that were there. And we see that Hezekiah started giving gold and started giving silver and started giving presents to the king of Assyria in hopes that it would pay him off and that he would leave. We see that Hezekiah at this point in time, although he was trying to do right, he made the problem worse. Although he was trying to make it right and just say, you know what, I'll pay you some gold, I'll pay you some silver, but get out of our hair, we don't want to deal with you. And we see that they decided that they weren't going to go away, but that they were going to try to take the city even more. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 33. Look at it with me. It says, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? So what they're saying here is, after he gave him the gold and the silver, he's saying, you know what? We conquered all these lands coming up to here. We conquered all these people, and they said that they had these gods, and they had that god, and they had this thing that they worshipped. Did any of them save them? The obvious answer is no, because they conquered them. But the one thing that he didn't understand is the gods that they had conquered before, the gods that they had conquered in the lands leading up to Judah, were gods that were not gods. They were images. They were graven idols. They were things that were built with men's hands, and they had no power whatsoever. They were worshiping false idols. They had confidence in false idols. And so the confidence that they had in these false idols, the confidence that they had in them to protect them, the confidence they had in them to help them in time of battle, they fell short because they had no power whatsoever. And so here he says, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? No, because they had no power. Verse 34. Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? But remember, Samaria, the northern 10 tribes it's talking about, they were at this time worshiping false idols. They were going against the Lord. They were not following after his commandments. If they had been following him, if they had their confidence in him, I believe that he would have spared them. But if they didn't have their confidence in him, they had their confidence in these false idols. They had their confidence in Ahaz, the king of Israel. They had their confidence in all those things. But they didn't have their confidence in the Lord. And so they conquered them as a type of captivity, a type of punishment, a type of judgment upon them, because the Lord allowed it as they were not following after him. Their confidence was not in God. Their confidence was not in Jehovah. And just for, so you kind of know who these places are, but Hamath, it was a principal city of the upper Syria in the valley of Orontes. Arpad, a city of in northern Syria. Sepharvaim, a city in Syria. Hena, a city of Mesopotamia. Iva, a city conquered that was conquered by Assyria. Couldn't really figure out where it was. And then Samaria, we know, is talking about the 10 northern tribes. He came and they were conquered because their God was not the God Jehovah, who has the power to do all things. Verse 35, it says, who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? Verse 36, it says, but the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household of Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. And so before we turn back to Isaiah, just to help us understand where we're at now, it's saying that he's saying, I conquered all these lands. I conquered this land and this land and this land. And oh, just to remind you, Samaria, who you say is part of you. I know you're separated. Your kingdoms are separated, but aren't they still the children of God? Aren't they still supposed to follow him? The God that you trust in, the God that you say you're having your confidence in. Remember them, we conquered them. He's trying to tell Hezekiah, you know what? The gold that you gave me isn't enough. I want to conquer you. We want your land. We want what you have. We want what you have. And you're trusting in this God that isn't going to save you. You're trusting in this God who isn't going to help you. You're trusting in a God who you say has all power to help. And he's saying, you know what? That God can't help you. Does it sound familiar? It sounds familiar to me of a man by the name of David who was coming up to a battle. And the children of Israel were standing on a hill, and they were looking across at the Philistines. And there was a man that was defying the God of Israel. And no doubt he was mocking that God, and he was saying, if your God can really save you, if your God can really help you, then you should be able to come against me and to kill me. And there was no man that was willing to go up against Goliath. There was no man who had the confidence in the Lord except for the man David. As this man was defying the Lord God, so was Rabshakeh. And the king of Assyria, he was saying, your God can't save you. Your God doesn't have the power to save you. Because look at Samaria. Look at these other ones that he was lumping in as the same God, but we all know that it wasn't the same God. It wasn't the God that the Judah was seeking. It wasn't the God that they were going after. It wasn't the God that they had their confidence in. And so, yes, he conquered them. Yes, he took them out. Yes, he captured Samaria, but that's because they were not confident and they were not serving the Lord God Jehovah. They were not serving the one who could deliver them. But if you would turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 36 and chapter 37. I say all that to remind us that the gods that he was talking about have no power. But the God that we serve, the God that Judah was serving, if we have confidence in that God, if we have confidence in the God of David, if we have confidence in the God of this Bible, if we have our confidence in him, not in idols that we've made, not in things that we've established, not in religions that we've created, not in money that we have possessed, but if we have our confidence in the Lord God Jehovah, then he will deliver us. He has the power to deliver us. You see, there's times when we may not be fighting a physical battle like they were about to do. None of us in here, I shouldn't say that. Some of us have served our countries, and you've fought a physical battle. I haven't. Many of the young folks in this room haven't. And from now on, many of us probably, unless we enlist in the military, will not fight a physical war battle. But we are fighting battles each and every day spiritually. We are fighting battles against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we are fighting battles that we cannot win unless our confidence is in the Lord. We are fighting battles that we cannot have any hope of coming through on the winning side unless we trust in the Lord. Many different battles across this room. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's a sickness like we just talked about with the prayer sheet. May I remind you that there is a man by the name of Norris Belcher who had Crohn's disease, and he was dying of it, and he was a man who just stepped up to the pulpit yesterday and who said, you know what, we had some praying people who trusted and had their confidence in the Lord God Jehovah, and today, 4 years, he's been without a trace of that disease. They had confidence that God could do something. They had confidence that the God that they served could help him and could heal him and could deliver him from that battle, could deliver him from that thing that was coming against him. And we have many different battles, whether it's a battle against, as I said, finance, health, it doesn't matter, you name it. You know what the battle is in your life. We all have them. And unless you're trusting and having confidence in the Lord, you're not going to win the battle. So tonight I want us to look at three reasons Christians can be confident in the Lord. There are three reasons that I find here. I'm sure there's many more, but I'm going to keep it in three. that I found in this passage that we can be confident in the Lord. Because it's easy to say that we should have confidence in the Lord, but if we don't know why we can have confidence, if we don't really believe that we can have confidence in Him, then there's no point in trying to have confidence in Him if we don't believe it ourselves. There's reasons why we should be confident in the Lord. First, Christians can be confident in the Lord like Hezekiah was because He is a holy God. Chapter 37, look at verse 16. And I'm going to explain what I mean here. It's that, well, look at verse 15. Up until this point, I feel like I should say this. Up until this point, Hezekiah has now heard from his trusted people that Rabshakeh is wanting to come against them, and he's not going to just go away, and he's trying to get the Judah to surrender, and he's saying, I can take you to a land that is like your land now. I can take you to a land that's going to take care of you. He's trying to butter him up. He's trying to say, you know what? We'll take care of your needs. Assyria will help you. We'll take care of you. Don't worry about trusting in this God. Don't worry about trusting the God that you can't see. But trust in Assyria. We can take you to a land and you'll be just fine. And so he hears that and Hezekiah rents his clothes and puts on sackcloth, and he is distressed because this country is coming against him and he's not sure what to do. But when you're not sure what to do, the best thing to do is to go to the Lord. And that's what we find that he does here. It says in verse 15, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone. You see, he realized that the God that dwelt between the cherubims was a holy God. Isaiah chapter 6, in verse 1 through 3, the Bible tells us, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. He's a holy God. Revelation 4, verse 8, it says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And I'm going to put all this together, but I want you to hear these scriptures first. Psalm chapter 1. It says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm chapter 37, verse 1 through 3 and verse 7, it says, Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Which is easy to do if we're not trusting in the Lord. If we're not trusting in the Lord, it's easy to fret about those who it looks like are getting away with sin, who are getting away with wickedness, who are getting away with the things that God says we shouldn't do. And we feel like, God, you're hounding me, you're coming against me, but what about that? He says they will get their time, their thing when the time comes. But fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. When you live righteously, you can have confidence that God will be with you no matter the struggle. When we go against his commandments, when we go against his will, we can see that judgment's going to come upon us. But when we live righteously, we can see that God is going to be with us. He is going to help us. He is going to be strong on our behalf. God will protect his people when they follow his example of holiness. We need to be confident in the Lord, and we can be because he is a holy God. And when we do right, when we do what his word says, when we do what he wants us to do, when we follow his will, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always help us. We see it here in these chapters that the tribes that were going against him, the tribes that were going against his will, the tribes that were going and making false idols, he had to bring judgment upon them. And we all probably know as well that, yes, the southern tribe went into captivity eventually as well. But at this point in time, they were seeking the Lord. They were going after the Lord. They were trying to serve him and to do what was right. You see, David, going back to the story of David and Goliath, he was a man that was a shepherd boy that was just doing right. He was a man that he was trying to live the way that God had set for his life to be. He wasn't trying to make trouble. He wasn't trying to be a show-off. He wasn't trying to go and defy the Lord. He was following him as best as he could. And God used him, and God protected him, and God helped him when he went up against the battle of a lion and a bear. When he went up to battle against Goliath, God was with him. And he could have confidence in his God, that God was going to be with him. First, Christians can be confident in the Lord because he is a holy God. Secondly, Christians can be confident in the Lord because he is a caring God. He cares for us. Verse 17 of Isaiah chapter 37, the Bible says, "Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and all their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them." I see here that Hezekiah knew that the Lord was going to hear him. Therefore, the Lord cared for him. God listens to us. God listens to our problems. God listens to our needs. God listens to us because he cares for us. He loves us. And we can have confidence that the Lord is going to be with us and that he is going to help us, and that we can have confidence in him knowing that he cares for us. That when we come to him and give our petitions to him, that he will incline his ear unto our words, that he will listen to the things that we are saying. Psalm 37, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart." He cares for us. Psalm 55, verse 22 and 23, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." I can be confident in the Lord knowing that he hears when I have needs and I talk to him. When you cast your needs and cast your burdens and cast your problems upon the Lord, he will hear it. He will hear you, and he wants to help you. Again, I think about David and Goliath, and when God heard David's confidence when he was standing before King Saul, and he said how nobody, this is paraphrasing, but how nobody else in the army was going up against this Goliath who was defying and blaspheming against their God. And how he told Saul that he had confidence in God, and he knew it because of how he cared for him before when David killed the lion and the bear. God kept him safe. God protected him. God helped David before. And it reminded David that God cared for him, that God was going to help him, that God wanted David to be cared for. First, Christians can be confident in the Lord because he is a holy God. Secondly, Christians can be confident in the Lord because he is a caring God. But thirdly, and I hope we don't forget this one, out of all of these, we should not forget this one. But lastly, we can be confident in the Lord because he is a powerful God. He is a powerful God. Not like those gods that were made with the hands, that were created by men. He is a God that was uncreated. He was a God that was before all. He was a God that created everything. He is a powerful God. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, it says, he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom. He hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. And he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain. He bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do we forget at the very beginning, God showed his power and created everything. He has the power to create everything. He has the power to help us. He has the power to help us get over these battles. He has the power to help us get through these battles. In John chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ had the power to create the worlds. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and verse 2, it tells us as well in verse 2 that Jesus Christ created and had the power to create the world. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. I want to read it to you. This is an awesome verse. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. God has the power to create. And I could have used many other illustrations, but to illustrate this power that he has, no one in here can create something from nothing. No one in this world can create something from nothing. And if he has the power to create everything in this world, as it started out in the book of Genesis, then he has the power to help you. If he has the power to create the sun and the moon and the stars, and it only took him, what, 5 words to say, and he made the stars also, what a blessing to know that he has the power to help us through the hard times. He has the power to help us through the times of distress. You're wondering where the health bill is going to be paid from. Trust in the Lord. You're wondering where college is going to be paid from. Have confidence in the Lord. You're wondering how you're going to be healed from a disease. Have confidence in the Lord. You're wondering how you're going to get your license or whatever the case may be. Have confidence in the Lord. He has the power to help you through the battles. He has the power to help you through the hard times. He has the power that you need to overcome the struggles in your life. We all have struggles. We all have hard times. But where's our confidence? Is our confidence in our parents? Is our confidence in the church? Is our confidence in our car? Is our confidence in our job? Is our confidence in you name it, if it's not in the Lord, it's in the wrong place. If our confidence is in anything but God, then our confidence, although it may be sincere, it's in the wrong place. And I want to encourage, it's meant to be an encouraging message, not a downer message, but it's meant to say, you know what? Trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. With God, all things are possible. With God, when it seems darkest, He can bring out the light and He can get you through the dark times. With God, all things are possible. Again, using it as an illustration through our message, David and Goliath. David, a man of average, at least, if not a little bit below average stature probably at this time. He wasn't like Saul. He wasn't like the king who was head and shoulders above everybody else. A man who was seeing the children of Israel on the hill looking at this man defy their God. And he said, I have confidence in the power of God. That I, not because of my strength, not because of my abilities, not because of the five stones that I'm going to choose that'll magically go and help me and turn into arrows or whatever the case may be. His confidence was in the Lord. And he stepped up across from that man, Goliath, and he took that stone and he trusted that the Lord was going to do something. And he took his sling and he whipped it and it hit Goliath in the forehead and went down and was able to cut his head off because of the power of God. Because God helped him. Because his confidence was in the Lord. His confidence wasn't in Saul. His confidence wasn't in the armor. Obviously, he didn't go with the armor because he couldn't bear it. It was too much for him. And so his confidence was not in himself. His confidence was not in his father. His confidence was not in his brothers because they were standing there and they were quaking and they were scared just like the other ones. His confidence was in the Lord. Where is our confidence this evening? When a hard time comes, what are we trusting in to get us through? What are we trusting in to get us through the hard times? If we're trusting in anything but the Lord, our confidence is misplaced. But when our confidence is placed in the Lord, when our confidence is placed in the right source of power, then we can see in chapter 37, verses 20 through 38, what God's response is going to be. Look at it with me. It says, now therefore, O Lord our God. And I wanted to read this too for this, but I'm sorry, I missed it. Save us from his hand. He had confidence that God could save them. That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. It's not saying, Lord, save us so I can be well known among all the people. It's not saying, Lord, save us so that way I can be raised up and I can be king over all the lands that the Assyrians have. That all the earth may know that thou art the Lord. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken, her head at thee, whom thou reproached and blasphemed, and against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel. By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord and hast said, by the multitude of my chariots am I come to up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the height of his border and the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and dunk and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers and besieged and of the besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago, now I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it,
Now I have brought it to pass that thou shouldst be to lay waste the fenced cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore, their inhabitants were of small power. And that's not what I wanted to read, but closer to verse 38, it says in verse 33, that's where I wanted to be, sorry about that. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. God says, this guy is not even going to come close. He's not going to be able to even think about shooting an arrow in your direction. Verse 34, by the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. God was gracious to them. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, and went. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, which apparently, obviously, doesn't have power, that Adrammelech and Sharezar, his sons, smote him with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. The point is, God took care of the situation when Hezekiah had confidence that he could do it. When Hezekiah put his confidence in the Lord to protect them, God said, you know what? I'm going to be gracious to you for my sake, that all the earth may know, and for my servant David's sake. And he delivered them from that battle, from that trial, from that tribulation. Recently, and I'm going to finish with this, but recently, many of you have known, as Pastor said, so I'm not telling anything that he hasn't said, but we were ready to build in July. God, through his providence and knowing what was best for us, decided to allow one of the banks to kind of pull out their bid, or whatever case you may call it. And at that point in time, it would have been easy for somebody to say, or anybody to say, you know what? Was God in this from the beginning? Was God really? I mean, we saw his hand in it. But it would have been easy for someone to say, what is God doing here? Why is the bank not doing this now? What are we going to do? Where's the funds going to come from? What are we going to do? We don't have the money for it. My pocket is not going to be able to pay the bill. Your pocket isn't going to be able to pay the bill. But you see, when I saw a pastor that we have here that said, you know what? I don't know what God is doing, but I am confident that he is going to provide for this bill, that he is going to build this building because it was his will, and if it's not his will, then he won't. And I saw our pastor put confidence in the Lord, and when he put his confidence in the Lord that he had before, but he put his confidence in the Lord, once again, God did something miraculous and allowed the amortization and all of that to be better than it was even the first time. He allowed us to build the building so far with the better monthly payments than we had thought it was going to be. God provided because our pastor put his confidence and our deacons put their confidence and some of our church members put their confidence in the Lord that he was going to provide. When you put your confidence in the Lord, God has then the ability to do something great. But I want to say this, because I don't want you to misunderstand what I just said. He always has the ability to do it. But he wants us to know in our heart and to yield our heart and our lives to Him and say, I know that You have the ability to do it. He wants us to say, God, I cannot do it. Lord, I have this illness. I have this sickness. And Lord, I don't know what to do. But I know that You have the power. You have the resources. And I know that You care for me. And Lord, I'm putting my confidence in You to show Yourself strong, that all the earth may know that You are the Lord and that You have power and that You can do whatever You wish to do. So the question tonight is, when trials come, when hardships come, when tribulations come, and they will, you're not going to live the Christian life without them. If you're following the Lord and doing what He wants, the devil's going to fight. There's going to be something in your life that comes along. But when that thing does, where is your confidence? Is it in the Lord? Or is it in other things that do not have the power that the God who created the heavens and the earth has? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for tonight. Father, we thank You for Your word that helps us to realize and to remember, Lord, that You have all power. And Father, whatever is in our lives, it seems big to us. It seems hard to us. But Lord, with You, it's nothing. Because You have all power. Father, help us to remember that. Help us to remember that if we put our confidence in You, You will provide. And Lord, You will help us. And Father, I pray that You would continue to help us to not forget that we need to place our confidence in You and not in other things. And Father, I thank You for what You're going to do through our church as we continue to put our confidence in You. And Lord, as we have already. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to